top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Wednesday, March 6th, in the headlines. Senator Delbert Parris criticizes the DLP administration's inability to govern effectively, alleging that it has prioritized political expediency over efficient ethical governance, leading to confusion about public policy. New Zealand has donated US $1.6 million to CARICOM to support women and youth in agriculture, in line with CARICOM's goal of cutting regional food imports by 25% by 2025.
As it happens, when it happens.
And a finance ministry document has shown that Ghana's anti-LGBTQ bill could potentially show international aid threaten the country's recovery from economic crisis and debt default. The news is brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents for Beacon Insurance Limited. Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour
Do
news.
Better. Beacon's Be Better Group Health Plan now offers new and improved options that make health insurance affordable for small to medium businesses. Good medical cover gives you a competitive edge and takes care of the people that take care of your business. Get a better plan to build a better business. Call Archipelago Trading or log on to beacon.co.tt for more info today.
Senator Delbert Parris emphasized the need for the Dominican people to have a clear comprehension of government's role and responsibilities, including accountability. He criticized the DLP government's officials for their failure to govern the nation ethically and manage its economy effectively. Parris highlighted the DLP administration's success in diverting policy towards political expediency and away from ethical governance.
We need a better understanding of what the government is and what we should expect from them and what we should be holding them accountable to be doing. But more so, the people who are employed and getting paid and getting pay raises to be governors. I think they need a refresher because they have not been doing a good job. And it's taken 24 and they have not been able to get that train back on the track that it's supposed to be. And here's what we have succeeded to do. We have succeeded to muddy the conversation of political expediency and ethical governance in a country. So that every time the conversation about governance starts to raise its head, you have someone jumping down your throat that you don't like a particular politician. Oh, you're just against the government. Oh, everything the government does is a problem. No, that's not the conversation. Political expediency has its place and we can have our political banters as much as we want. But that has its place and its time. After that is finished.
Senator Parris emphasized that governance should take precedence and be the focal point of public discourse. He argued that if people do not grasp the true essence of governance and its expectations, they would struggle to comprehend the system they are governed by.
Governance is what takes precedence and what becomes front and center. And if we don't understand what that is and what we should be expecting, and not just what our governors are supposed to be doing, but what we as a people should be doing, how we should be positioning ourselves, how we should be helping them and reminding them of their role, that they are not kings and they are not supremos.
Precisely.
They are servants. Servants that get paid pretty well with a lot of nice benefits, but servants nonetheless. And they have a mandate and a job to do, and their responsibility is to do it. You have to give an account of how those resources were used. You have to give an account of whether you were able to hit your targets or not. You have to be responsible and accountable for the charge that you have been given, especially if the money and the resources are not yours, right? In today's government system in Dominica, we don't see that happening. Again, another mixing and muddying of the conversation, so much so that it loses its substance.
And that was opposition Senator Delbert Parris. President of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton, has passionately urged the people of Dominica to come together and demand the retrieval of funds allegedly mishandled outside of the National Treasury. He stressed the pressing need to confront this issue, underscoring the seriousness of the missing funds and the potential ramifications of the country's economic stability.
I want to ask those responsible for the criminal justice system, isn't this sufficient credible evidence of a major theft of Dominica's money requiring an investigation into criminal behavior and prosecution of that criminal behavior in the public interest of Dominica? Mr. Valerie, I call on you, sir. I know you have a challenge with understanding what an amnesty is, but I'm sure you can understand what theft is. I'm sure you can understand what it is to steal from someone, to commit the crime of theft. And so here is the crime of theft being committed against the state of Dominica. Dominica needs his sons and daughters. Dominica needs his officials to stand for Dominica. No better time than now. I do not know that there has been a bigger heist, there's been a bigger theft of public money anywhere in the developing world than this particular example of Dominica.
Linton stated that it was anticipated for the Prime Minister to acknowledge the issue and seek the support and cooperation of the Dominican people in resolving the issue.
We expected that Mr. Skerrit would admit that there's a problem and he would want to bring on the support of the people of Dominica to help him to solve the problem. Instead, Mr. Skerrit has chosen to stand against Dominica. When Dominica's money is missing and stolen, Mr. Skerrit is standing on the side of those who are responsible because he doesn't feel that we deserve to have all of our money from the sale of our passports. What's going to happen with us in Dominica? Are we going to be serious about getting our money returned? We, the people of Dominica, because that's who it belongs to. Are we going to be serious about getting our money returned? And we can show our seriousness, because we need to send a serious admonition to this government that this will not work, and we're not going to allow $6.4 billion of our money to be stolen in front of our eyes in broad daylight and do nothing about it.
United Workers' Party President Lennox Linton. UK Government Representative Richard Carter stated that the Climate Resilience Execution Agency for Dominica, CREED, had fulfilled its mission of aiding Dominica in becoming a resilient country. Established after Hurricane Maria in 2017, CREED was created to assist Dominica in building resilience against the impacts of climate change.
We are confident, based on the reports presented by Ambassador Barron, based on what we have seen through our membership of the Supervisory Committee, based on our entire experience over the past 7 years, we are confident that CREED has more than delivered, to the degree that when the United Kingdom presented its International Development White Paper, which was developed on the insistence of our new Minister for International Development, in that white paper, which covers the entire world in which the United Kingdom operates, there is a section focused on the Dominica story. I insisted that that be part of the recognition in that white paper of what climate resilient development means, and it is there as a repository for all international development that the United Kingdom delivers to demonstrate what can be done in support of a nation.
And that was UK Government Representative Richard Carter. Social scientist Simeon Joseph has shared thoughts on recent happenings in Dominica, shedding light on the country's current situation and its people's views. He says Dominicans should think deeply about what the government does and its role, especially now. Joseph comments follow recent events in the country, leading him to explore how Dominicans see and react to what's happening. He emphasizes how vital it is for everyone to understand clearly what the government is supposed to do.
In reflecting on what is happening in Dominica today, particularly the past week, over the past weekend, and the utterances of some people in government and observing certain things, and also to a greater understanding of how Dominicans demonstrate the understanding of things that are happening, we need to put into sharp focus our understanding of what is the purpose of government. And I think we are lacking in our general understanding of what is the purpose of government. If we are to critically examine what is the purpose of government, we must also inherently, as a secretary argument, understand what is the role of government. Again, that is another area that seems to be lacking in our general understanding, not only by the masses of the people, but by the people in power. And then that then obviously leads us to the functions of government. Because it seems to me today, when one understands the functions of government, we have a government that is essentially non-functioning based on what are the main tasks that a government is called to do. And then, quite openly, something that is very poignant, the structure of government in terms of the form of government we have. You know, because it seems to me that we have today a structure of government that is not in keeping with the right understanding of the purpose and the role of government, and also an understanding of what is the functions of government for the people.
Joseph stresses the government's duty to ensure efficiency and uphold the rule of law, urging the public to evaluate the current government's performance.
Have to understand as to what is the purpose of government, okay? Clearly, there needs to be an understanding that the purpose of government, right, is to promote efficiency. When we look at what is happening, the purpose of government is to promote efficiency, the rule of law, and order within a country, and to ensure things are organized and working as expected within a state. Question we have to ask in Dominica today, is the purpose of government being fulfilled when we examine today the efficiency of how things are done, the rule of law, that how it is done, the order that exists within the country, and how organized we are within our states, even within the very government system. And so if governments are there to make laws and to enact policies and provide social services, expand on human resource, ensure that people are protected, and to ensure that there is a certain employment that takes place to establish a developed state, okay? A developed state. That's what we are gaining at, the development of Dominica, right? Any function of the government involves putting structures in place. What structures have we put in place to ensure that we have good governance in Dominica?
Social scientist Simeon Joseph. In other news, the CARICOM has secured a significant financial boost of US$1.6 million from New Zealand, aimed at supporting women and youth in agriculture. As part of the organization's ambitious plans to reduce food imports to the region by 25% by 2025, the grant funding agreement was formally signed by CARICOM Secretary General Dr. Carla Barnett and New Zealand's new philanthropy representative to CARICOM, Her Excellency Linda Charlotte Tipuni. The signing took place on Wednesday, 20 February, at the Guyana Marriott in Georgetown, coinciding with the 46th regular meeting of the Conference of CARICOM Heads of Government. This funding injection forms a crucial part of New Zealand's ongoing commitment to deepen development cooperation with CARICOM. The initiative, titled CARICOM Boost Women and Youth in Agriculture, aims to enhance sustainable production, climate change resilience and profitability among 47 women and youth farmer groups across 10 member states. The project will see the implementation of various measures, including the use of protected structures and appropriate cold storage unit technologies in agriculture production, led by women and youth ultimately. The project also seeks to promote climate smart agriculture through sustainable production methods. And Ghana's parliament recently approved an anti-LGBTQ bill, raising concerns about potential consequences for international aid, as highlighted in an internal government memo. President Nana Akufo-Addo revealed on Monday that the bill has not yet reached his desk.
Ghanaian lawmakers have unanimously voted in favor of an anti-LGBT bill. But could that legislation imperil vital Western aid for the heavily indebted West African country? First, let's look at the bill. Gay sex was already punishable with 3 years in prison in the socially conservative country, but the new bill intensifies the crackdown. It includes a prison sentence of up to 5 years for the willful promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ plus activities. Lawmakers say LGBT behavior and advocacy goes against Ghana's cultural values. The bill's passage comes as Ghana seeks to emerge from a deep economic crisis and debt default. It's doing so with the help of an International Monetary Fund loan program secured last year and financing from the World Bank. But a finance ministry document has warned that if the bill becomes law, that could lead to the loss of $3.8 billion in World Bank financing over the next 5 to 6 years, derailing the IMF loan package. That would have a, quote, dire consequence on the debt restructuring exercise and Ghana's long-term debt sustainability, said the document, which was dated March and contained recommendations for President Nana Akufo-Addo. It also recommended engaging with conservative countries, including Arab National Financing. The World Bank, which suspended new funding for Uganda after it passed a harsh anti-LGBT bill last year, has said it is preparing a response to Ghana's bill. The IMF has said it cannot weigh in on the implication of a bill that is not yet law. However, it also noted that internal IMF policies prohibit discrimination based on personal characteristics. But this is all of potentially little consequence if the bill doesn't become law, and that's still up in the air. To become law, it would need to be signed by Akufo-Addo, who on March 4 said the bill had not yet arrived on his desk.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Senator Delbert Parris criticizes the DLP administration's inability to govern effectively, alleging that it has prioritized political expediency over efficient, ethical governance, leading to confusion about public policy.
Right on.
New Zealand has donated US $1.6 million to CARICOM to support women and youth in agriculture, in line with CARICOM's goal of cutting regional food imports by 25% by 2025.
Our news.
And a finance ministry document has shown that Ghana's anti-LGBTQ bill could potentially slow international aid, threaten the country's recovery from economic crisis and debt default. The news was brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents for Beacon Insurance Limited. I am Phyllis Envalmond.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.